It's the Barry Pod on 99.3 thevine.com.
As promised, Napa Mayor Scott Sedgley is joining me now in studio. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Barry.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Got your safety vest on, I see. And
rode my bicycle. Safety first. Helmet also.
Good job. Let's talk first of all about the 4th of July before we get into the hard stuff. You made some changes and adjustments last year when the word came out that there would be no fireworks. It was not well received by parts of the community. And let's talk about, let's do something different. This year, it is something different. Give us some more details on that.
It's exciting. New opportunity, drones, and the technology has advanced so far now. We expect 400 drones up that will do, a light show. There'll be, graphics in the sky and accompanying music. So we're excited, but that's just part of the 4th of July celebration. Fireworks traditionally were part, but with council's priorities looking at climate, that was a consideration because you're exploding a lot of heavy metals into the sky. It's also wreaks, terror on pets. We know that. Excuse me, and certain veterans, could go without loud explosions. So we thought it would be a good time to reevaluate that. And it's expensive. 4th of July costs a considerable amount of general fund budget to put on. We're at about $123,000 for this year's event. And so it includes the parade, the street closures, the barricading, the law enforcement, public works out doing all that. It's not just as simple as closing a street. You have to meet vehicle code safety standards and how it's done, how it's noticed, signaled, all those considerations takes manpower. So with the parade, the Sunrise Rotary putting on our wonderful traditional parade will kick off at about 10, I believe, for the parade. So come on down for the parade. And then all day at the Oxbow Commons, if you're familiar with down there, the bypass, we'll have family activities, we'll have food trucks, we'll have music. And then the headliner Wonder Bread 5, I think a lot of in the community know Wonder Bread 5, will be down there for the evening. So it'll be a fantastic night. It'll finish up with that drone show that they're kind of their launching pad is a lot of us refer to it as the Cinedome parking lot behind Cole's Chop House. So you'll be able to view from a lot of various vantage points downtown. So come on out for the 4th. It should be a great day.
Outstanding. And do we feel like viewing this, the same places people would have gone for fireworks will be the places to go to view the drone show?
It'll be those same, vantage points will be available. Now, the drones won't be, like if some people would like to go up into Skyline Park and watch, the fireworks, mm-hmm. or maybe into Alston Park and watch fireworks. But, yeah, this will be a little more lower elevation, and not quite as bright. But,
okay.
So, but downtown and most, Alta Heights, all of those vantage points will be just like they used to be.
Mm-hmm. While we're on the topic, a reminder that fireworks are not legal in the city of Napa, the consumer type.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, even the Safe and Sane that are sold in other counties, we passed an ordinance 25 years ago that would ban Safe and Sane fireworks. And, of course, the bigger pyrotechnics, the aerials, the M-80s, all that stuff have been prohibited for a long time. And safety is the biggest concern, of course, in fire, in the middle of July. And we've all noticed that we're picking up some of those grass and wildland fires. And so all things considered, leave the fireworks to the professionals and please don't blast them off around your neighborhood. Be considerate of your neighbors.
Yeah. Try not to catch the town on fire.
That would be nice.
Step one. Okay, so we covered the easy part. Let's move on to the less easy part for somebody in your position. And there's some stuff in here we need to lay a little bit of a background because we get into this alphabet soup of acronyms that are tossed around, and you go to a council meeting. If you're not really dialed in to what these things mean, you can get lost in it, like VLF, the vehicle licensing fees, and the ERAF shift and all this. Like, what the heck? How do you... in a simple way, explain to the folks listening why the council is planning to put a ballot measure on for a tax increase, a sales tax increase. What's happening that leads to this need in the future?
Oh, It is complex, but the simple answer is, you know, municipalities like the city of Napa, full service, you know, government, police, fire, public works, parks, all of those things, they require a stable revenue source. And so, you know, our revenue sources for the city primarily are property tax, which is a very stable source of income. Sales tax is fairly stable. And that's what we're proposing now, is an increase of 1%, 1 cent on every dollar for the increase of sales tax. It's fairly stable. And then transient occupancy tax, that's another one of those acronyms, TOT. It's a hotel bed tax. That's a wonderful source of revenue for communities that have visitors, but we call it flexible. You can't really depend on TOT, transient occupancy tax, because sometimes it's up. Right now it's trending down a little bit in the community. Some hotel stays or occupancy, how many people are coming here, is down a little bit. So it's, you can't really, you know, budget very confidently on transient occupancy tax. So the state controls most of the sales tax that comes in. It, like, sales tax now is 7.75. Actually, 6 cents of that goes to the state. Now, we do get some of that back in the, you know, community development block grant monies. Some, a little bit of it trickles back, but the lion's share heads over there. And so the city actually gets 1 cent of the 7.75%. And so that was the crux of, well, let's look at how we can stabilize our revenue to provide the services that the city provides in a fair and equitable way. Now, the sales tax, it can be argued that it's a regressive tax. It hits, you know, the lower income as equally as the higher income. That is true, but often a lot of our expenditures help with programs that support lower income families. And so that money also comes around a little bit, and so that helps. So we had surveys, we looked at what to do to stabilize that money. And then you brought up vehicle license fees, VLF. Years ago, when you purchased your license, there was a pretty large percentage tax on that. It was over 2%. Well, the state decided to reduce that vehicle licensing fee and the tax, which was very popular. But that funding came back to the city, a lot of it, for the vehicles that are registered in our county, in our city. The state promised that they would backfill that money with the ERAF, the educational, can't even remember what the thing is. It's funding.
RAF.
Yeah, it's a funding model for schools, because that's where a lot of the funding goes. And so, but now with the state budget and the situation it's in, that there's no guarantee that that money will come back to us. There's a very likelihood that the funding model for Napa Valley Unified School District will change. So if that funding model changes, it will affect the city budget. So with all that perfect storm converging on us, and even, you know, I'm hoping to be a second term as mayor, so this year's a campaign year's not a tax increase is not something that you want to be advocating for, but it's the right thing to do, and that's why I'm supportive of this small increment of raising the sales tax. Napa's sales tax regionally is lower than our surrounding communities at 7.75. Our transient occupancy tax is the second highest in the state. So a lot of people said, well, raise your transient occupancy tax, the hotel tax. We're already right at kind of the limit. And so that was the decision to made to go on that 1 cent on the sales tax. So that's what we're hoping voters will understand and agree that it's not being spent, you know, frivolously. It's, you know, it's just to run the day-to-day operations of the city, and it goes into the general fund that covers all of those $122 million general fund budget, and that's what we're trying to balance year after year.
ERAF, just for the record, stands for Educational Revenue Augmentation Funds. File that one away in your brain. And it is so complicated because of monies that come from the state, money that go to the state, and portions of this and portions of that. Now, let me rewind just for a second here, because what we're seeing now in terms of hotels and the transient occupancy tax from hotels and there are more hotels coming. We're seeing that because 20-ish years ago, maybe 25, people started to say there is a capacity for more hotel rooms in Napa. And if we build those hotels, let those hotels be built by developers, the transient occupancy tax will fund city services in a way we've never had before. I remember when the new Stanley Lane project was coming online, the revenue just from that alone was so much. It was, you could see like people's eyes lighting up in the budget finance department at the city. Like, we're going to have money to do things we haven't had before. But it doesn't seem like we do. And I think a lot of people in the community start to question what's going on. If you feel inconvenienced by tourism, and the trade-off is, yes, but we'll be able to pave your street because we'll have more money because of these tourists. And then you look out and see, my street is still not paved. And I'm, you know, I'm breaking it down to the most basic of of ways of thinking. You know, I'm sure you hear this from people. How do you respond to that? There's more money than ever coming in, but there's more money than ever going out. So, what's the problem?
Well, your last comment, more money going out, the cost of doing business has increased so dramatically over those 20 years. The cost of everything has gone up, and we feel that in our own personal budgets. And, you know, I'm asked, well, at home, if costs go up, I tighten my budget at home. And that's true. We all do that. But when you tighten the city's budget, it's basically eliminating certain services. That's the only way you can reduce cost, is you have to look at what you're providing for the community, and then you have to tighten it up there. And so we'd prefer not to reduce the services we provide. We want to continue with the outstanding and the full service, you know, things that we do in town. And so the cost of doing business is up. If you drive down Browns Valley Road recently, a lot of construction on Browns Valley Road and First Street, there was a new sewer line down there. Now, this is Napa Sanitation, so it's not the city's work. But to put in that 36-inch trunk line, they call it a trunk line, big sewer line, $1 million a mile to put that pipe in the ground, to move the sewer down to the treatment plant. So to answer your question, yes, the revenue from TOT is a boom. I mean, we're fortunate to have it in our community. It is our industry. If we didn't have tourism and hospitality in Napa, we would be in a world of hurt. So, but as the costs have gone up, you know, the cost of, you know, police and fire, that's about half of the, about 50% of the general fund budget of the $122 million is police and fire. And we appreciate the services they provide, and we depend on the services they provide. And so with the TOT being somewhat, we found that during the pandemic when hotel occupancy was very low, the city revenue dropped about 20%. We were able to weather that storm by not filling some positions, and so services did suffer. You notice parks were a big part of that. So yes, the TOT money is fantastic, fortunate to have it. It's not the end of all means to keep our city going, and that's why the sales tax is a much more stable source of revenue. And all those hotels, I mean, the big ones downtown, the Andaz and the Archer, they've been great. There's been several that are proposed and that have not been built yet, so we'll see where they shake out. The developers understand the business much better than I do. And if they believe that Napa has some capacity for some more rooms, that's their decision. And we appreciate investors for Napa, because it does create that vibe downtown that I appreciate, a lot of people appreciate, but some longtime residents don't think that it's benefiting them personally. And, you know, it's a balance. You know, we don't want to turn it into an Anaheim where it's, you know, that kind of operation, but I think we can get there with the well run, the smaller hotels that we're building to bring our guests into town and show them what, you know, hospitality is about, and that it's the rising tide, it helps us all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the TOT, it wasn't a sales pitch. If you build a hotel, that revenue is going to come in, and it has helped immensely, and we will depend on it in the future.
just to put some of these numbers in context, did you say a moment ago that about half of the general fund is police and fire?
Yes.
So the general fund in the current year is $122 million.
Yes.
So that makes $61 million for police and fire. I looked up what the general fund total budget was 10 years ago, and it was $70 million. So we're almost at the point where the entire budget from 10 years ago now is what it takes to fund police and fire.
Yeah, those are stark numbers. And it's you know, the police department, God bless them, it's a difficult job. It's a difficult job for our police officers. They do a fantastic job, but it's difficult to attract young people into law enforcement right now. You know, when I was growing up, you know, to become a law enforcement, become a cop was a great job, and it was a respected job, and people would, you know, careers. It's changed for various reasons over the years. So for us to attract high quality law officers that we need to have, you have to compensate. It's a competitive market, and so for the city to maintain that force, you have to keep up with the market. And I'm not saying that that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. We want good cops, but the cost of doing business for cities has increased dramatically. Insurance, attorneys. You reported earlier today about a lawsuit, and so all those things cost dollars. And wish we didn't have to. Wish it was a simpler world, but it's complex, and it takes revenue to provide the services.
Yeah. In addition to things like VLF and ERAF, a term that gets thrown around that many people may not understand is has been called the unfunded mandate in regard to pensions.
Oh, yes.
How much is, I know 10 years ago that was being talked about a lot, and there were people thinking we're going into a crisis over this. We're still alive and still functioning. How much is the growth in that category of expenditure?
Phenomenal. The public employees retirement system, you know, it's a great retirement system, the biggest in the world. And so they were able to generate, you know, great retirements, especially in public safety and in public employees. Then some rough weather hit, and the stock market, they depend on returns on their money. PERS, public employee retirement system, they depend on money coming back in. Well, when the stock market drops down, their returns drop. So their solution was to go back to the employers. So now, okay, you have to pick up more of that cost. And they base that unfunded liability on all your workforce, what they would be entitled to receive in pension if they all retired today, which is, you know, it's a crazy argument, but they said that's what we have to do. You know, we have to be prepared so we can pay the benefits. So that unfunded liability requires the city to put money away each year to pay down that unfunded liability. And so we've been aggressive to try to pay it down. We put money away every budget cycle. It fluctuates depending on how much we have available to put away. But it's millions of dollars every year out of the general fund money that go to pay for that future liability of retirement.
Because a commitment was made to those employees.
Yes.
You can't pull the rug out from other people.
No, we have contracts, and we're gonna you know, honor those contracts.
Yeah. It's coming back to the sales tax measure itself. It will be on the November ballot, correct?
Yes.
And it's been given a title measure
Z.
Okay, we'll figure that out. There won't be too many local measures to worry about.
Yeah.
And is it a simple majority vote?
Yes, 50% plus one.
Mm-hmm. And as I recall from reading the stories about this, there's some carve-outs for certain categories of purchases that won't have additional sales tax. Is that correct? Some basic.
Yes, that's I think through state legislation, probably law, where, you know, your food is not taxed on that, so the cost of food is going high, but this won't add to that. Prescription medications, those type of essentials are not tax sales tax. But now when you go buy a car, a new car, the sales tax will get you there. And when you go to the long anticipated Costco, that sales tax will be there, and we're excited about that.
You know? Let's end our segment on an up note and talk about the Costco, which they still think fall?
Yes, October, yes. Yeah. And they just requested some additional parking So they went to the city to you know, kind of amend the what was approved. They have the ability to expand their parking. So they anticipate a good sales if they want to move some more parking spaces. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so no, we're excited. And, you know, it's going to be convenient for a lot of Napa County and Napa City shoppers because there's a lot of Costco members.
That's for sure. And they're currently driving to either Vallejo or Fairfield, Green Valley, whatever.
And that'll save us a lot. And the fueling station, that was a difficult one because the city council looked at, you know, fueling stations. We looked at big, massive drive-thrus. But Costco was entitled when the development agreement came through to put that fueling station in. So we still need fuel for our, you know, our fossil fuel cars. And so at least when people fuel there, the sales tax returns to us. We get a portion of that sales tax.
All right. Councilmember Luros, listen again, says Measure G. Measure G. Is that what you said?
Yes.
I think I talked over you a little bit.
Yep.
Measure G. Mayor Thanks, Scott Mayor. Sedgley, our guest here in the studio for some conversation on what's going on with the city of Napa in terms of revenues and budgets and other things and Costco and fireworks and all kinds of stuff. Thanks for coming in. Any final thoughts?
Oh, just, you know, this enjoy the summer. I know school's out. A lot of kids are active. Those summer programs that the city puts up through Parks and Recreation, they fill right up. Our swimming classes filled up in the first 15 minutes.
Wow.
So we would love to expand those. And so this, you know, if we're successful with Measure G and that revenue is stable, that will allow us to maintain what we have and hopefully expand more youth services in the way of recreation. That's the goal.
Thanks again for coming in. Have a safe bike ride home or wherever you're headed.
Thanks, Barry.
You're listening to The Barry Pod, tastings from Wine Country Live in the morning.
On 99.3, thevine.com.